Would you turn with me for today's reading of Scripture? This is from 2 Kings. We're going to be reading in chapter 17. And as you'll notice, many of the minor prophets take place during 2 Kings, and a lot of it is repeated in the Chronicles. This is 2 Kings, chapter 17. We're going to be starting at verse 6. This is about King Hoshea. This is 2 Kings 17. Make sure you turn there. Let's read this together. Follow along and see if I pronounce all the names correctly. That's always fun. We're going to be starting at verse 6. All right. Let's read our scripture. Verse 6. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria. He carried the Israelites away to Assyria and placed them in Halah and on the Habor, the river Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Verse 7. And this occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the customs of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel, and in the customs that the kings of Israel had practiced. Verse 9. And the people of Israel did secretly, against the Lord their God, things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves pillars and asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they made offerings on all the high places, as the nations did, whom the Lord carried away before them. And they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. They served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, "You shall not do this." Verse 13. Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, "Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes in accordance with all the law that I commanded your fathers and that I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." But they, verse 14, would not listen. But they were stubborn, as their fathers had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They despised his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and the warnings that he gave them. They went after false idols and became false. They followed the nations that were around them, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do like them. And they abandoned, verse 16, all the commandments of the Lord their God, and made for themselves metal images of two calves, and they made Asherah, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served Baal. They burned their sons and daughters as offerings, and used divination and omens, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. None was left but the tribe of Judah only. Judah also did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the customs that Israel had introduced. And the Lord rejected all the descendants of Israel and afflicted them, and gave them into the hand of plunderers until he had cast them out of his sight. This is the reading of the scripture this morning. As we prepare, you can come on up. We're going to pray. And as we pray before we enter into this time of teaching, we'll also bring before the Lord two of our friends. We'll pray and we'll bring before the Lord our friend Pastor Bob, who's at home recovering and healing, and very weak from his treatments from cancer. We'll pray that the Lord will be with him during this very difficult time as his health struggles, I will pray too for Brent McGilvery. He had a small stroke the other day, and he's in the hospital recovering right now. Two people in our church family that we love and want to care for, I think both of them appreciate visits quite a bit. Bob's at home and Brent is in the hospital. So let's bring them before the Lord in prayer. Then we'll enter into this time of teaching. Blessed are you, Lord our God, the one who reigns forever and ever. We praise you and we love you. Reading this scripture, it's such a reminder of how quick we can walk away. And you are the faithful God who came into the darkness and brought great light, for it was very, very dark. And right now, as we prepare to learn, to read the scriptures, to draw wisdom from it, to live our lives, we think of our two friends who are struggling. You are the light in their darkness. For Bob, who's receiving more cancer treatments and struggling quite a bit. For Brent, who's just had a small stroke and is recovering in the hospital. Two people, Lord God, that you care for and you know them by name. And in their darkness, you are their light. We pray that you would take care of their bodies, encourage their minds, give peace to their soul. Thank you, Lord God, that no matter how many times we wander from you, you have filled us with your presence. You have not abandoned us. You will be with us wherever we go. For you are the Lord God, gracious and merciful. You are faithful to 1,000 generations of those who love you. You will not leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for this opportunity to pray for our friends and to read the scriptures together. Be with us, Lord God, in the rest of our service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
She's sleeping. Thanks, Darren. I don't think you realize how much of a challenge remembering numbers and dates and stuff like that for me. I'm a 10,000 foot person. I'm not the details person. And so I hope I got all the numbers right. You get the general idea where we're coming from. I want to thank Mona for finding this summary that Darren just wrote, that Darren just read, because it summarizes everything so perfectly, exactly what the Israelite people were doing. They were sacrificing their children. They put that in there because that is the worst of the things that you could do. Yeah, bleak times in the nation of Israel and in the nation of Judah. God needed to do something. I know Darren just prayed, but I always feel I got to pray before we start. Dear God, I'm so thankful for today. I thank you so much that you have given us this place and time, this beautiful summer day. I thank you for the green grass and the way that you bring life. And I just ask that you would be with the words that come out of my mouth, Lord. I pray that they would be your words and that as they travel to the ears of the people in our congregation and at home, I just ask that you would transform them into things that impact their lives so that they can be more like you. In your name I pray, amen. Abraham was called by God as the leader and the anchor, the first piece of God's rescue plan for the world. When did that happen? Well, long time ago, way past Chantel over there was Abraham, okay? And Abraham was given a covenant by God. God called Abraham, said, Abraham, I want you to come out of there and you're going to follow me and you're going to wander and I'm going to make you into a great nation. And if you follow my commands, I will be with you. And you will be my God. You will be my people and I will be your God. Israelites headed off to slavery, And after God saved them from the Egyptians, God started this thing. See, he had them go into the desert. They could have gone directly to the promised land where he was going to take them, but God said, that's not going to turn out all that well. What we're going to do is we're going to take them to the desert, and we're going to teach them about me. Now, Moses, at the burning bush, I'm not sure if you remember the story of the burning bush. All of a sudden, there's this burning bush, and Moses comes near, and it's not burning up. It's just staying burning, and God calls him and says, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. And Moses says to him, or to the burning bush where God was, he says, will the people even know who you are? Who do I say that you are? And God says, tell them I am, all capital letters. That's significant. I am. What do you mean you are? Well, I am, like everything, like all of that, like I'm holy, I'm always, I'm everywhere, I can see all things. Just let them know that of all these other gods that are out in the world, I am the God. And in the desert, God showed them who he was. I really look at the desert and the time that the Israelites spent there as a time where God was saying, this is who I am. And by showing the Israelites who he was also showing them how to live. Because it is the characters of God that demonstrate to us how we should live. Let me just add one little piece of theology here. God made at creation man and humanity, all of us, in such a way that the ultimate fulfillment of our lives is a life with him. He designed us so that our ultimate fulfillment is found in him. We chase all those other things. The Israelites in 2 Kings, they chased all those other things. But God designed our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our focus so that our ultimate fulfillment is in him. I think I've said that enough times. Now that sounds a bit cocky for someone to say, you all, you know, I hang out with teenagers all the time. They're the center of the universe till they realize they're not, and then their parents are smart. But they're the center of the universe, right? But God is, and he can say that because he made us. He designed us. He says, your best life is with me. That's it. Done. In September, I'm going to have two new grade 10 classes. Every semester, I get two new grade 10 classes. And I'm going to spend 2 or 3 days talking to them, and it's usually going to take it might take a week of us getting into the shop and all of that stuff, but I'm going to spend at least 2 days telling them how my class works. It's going to be the same in all the classes in the school. I'm going to tell them, we're going to go into the shop, and I've got a different way of marking you. Let me explain how it works. So do I explain how this works? And I tell them how my world works. I was the creator of that world. This is what I did. I've got this shop. I've got these engines to take apart. I've got doing this, and we've been doing that, and this is how you get marks. I'm telling you how this works. This is when we go into my world, out of this classroom and into the shop, this is what my world looks like. And therefore, this is what your world looks like. And then I tell them a few things. If you want to be successful here, this is what you need to do. You need to come to class every day. Big one, okay? Be here. And when you come to class, come ready to work. If you roll in 3 minutes out of bed and into my period one class, you're probably not going to be as effective as if you would just get up and have a breakfast or whatever. So come ready to work. And then put in 56 minutes. You can say 56. Well, we get 62 minutes. And I got to have some cleanup time and time for attendance. So let's give me that full 56. Excellent. If you want to be successful, you need to come see me often. Like if you haven't come and talked to me at least 3 times every class, then you're probably not going to be as successful as if you did. So come talk to me a lot. The ones who come talk to me a lot, they're successful. And I give them about 6 or 7 different things. If you want to be successful in my class, this is what you should do. I created this space. This is my shop. Nobody's telling me what to do. I'm the only one in the Chinook School Division who does this, what I do. And nobody asks me, nobody tells me. They just, you know, the principals, they just want to make sure that the blood stays off the ground and everybody comes out happy, okay? And so they pretty much give me free rein to do what I need to do. This is Chad's world, Mr. Martin's world. And as I talk about that and I talk about God, I just want us to understand that God made this world and he designed it this way. We can argue all we want. He still made it this way. And he designed it so that your greatest fulfillment is in him. That's kind of my punchline at the end. I wanted to use it at the start too. So let's keep going. So God led his people. He taught them in the desert and he led them. We've got Moses and then they enter the promised land. We've got Joshua and then there's later on there's Samuel and there's David where Chantel was sitting here standing. And then we have Solomon. We got the divided kingdom. We talked about that. And I think I said the divided kingdom started right about here and it went apart and then Israel ceased to exist. And right here is where Hosea sits. Hosea is talking to the northern kingdom. Every once in a while, he refers to Judah in the southern kingdom. You too, you're not perfect either. Come on, but that's just a few verses. Mostly he's talking to the northern kingdom. And he talks to them, and his life actually extends into where they are sent to these different countries. That is not where God promised the promised land. So that's where Hosea sits. And Hosea's message is pretty basic. And this is what it is. Israel has rejected me and has broken the covenant I had over them. And they've done it over and over and over and over and over and over. You get the picture. They have broken the covenant. Number two. You have experienced and will experience justice for your actions. It's coming. It's right around the corner. I'm the last one to tell you what's going to happen. And let me tell you, nasty things happened. Moses tells us, Moses was a prophet too. Moses prophesies and says, when they lay siege to your cities, you're going to be so hungry that you are going to want to eat your own children. And he says it in a really funny way. He says, even the daintiest woman who does not even dare to set her foot onto anything but rug will look at her own children and her neighbor's children and want to eat them because she's so hungry. Yeah, this is nasty stuff. Hosea is here to tell them this is coming. Three things. Israel has rejected me. You have experienced and will experience justice. And the third one is I will rescue you. I'm coming again. Can't leave any of those out. You got to have all three. And it's repeated over and over. Let me show you. Turn to Hosea 1. If you're wondering where Hosea was, the minor prophets, I would go to the New Testament and go back a bit. It's not very much there. So let's go to Hosea 1. So the message again, rejection, justice, and rescue. We're going to see those over and over again. I want to tell you that because when you go home today, I mean, this is 14 chapters. I can't cover it all. I'm going to cover the first chapter and maybe a few little tidbits in the middle. But I'd like you to go home and read this and look for all of those things. You rejected me, you were going to experience justice, and I'm going to rescue you. You can look for all of those. Let's go back to the desert with Moses and Israelites. So we're at Hosea. I'm just going to flip back to Exodus 34. And you could just listen if you want. Exodus 34. Verses 1 to 7. It says, the Lord said to Moses, cut two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Yeah. Israelites went rogue, already started worshiping a calf. Verse 2, be prepared by morning. Come up Mount Sinai in the morning and stand before me on the mountaintop. No one may go up with you. In fact, no one should be seen anywhere near on the mountain, anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and herds are not to graze in front of that mountain. Moses cut two stone tablets like the first ones. He got up early in the morning and taking the two stone tablets in his hand, he climbed Mount Sinai just as the Lord had commanded him. The Lord came down in a cloud and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he proclaimed this, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity, rebellion, and sin. But he will not leave the guilty unpunished, bringing the consequences of the father's iniquity on the children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation. I want to tell you that this is the heart of God. When we read Hosea, I mean, we went through those things right there when God described himself. They rejected him. There was justice, and then he's going to save them. He has a heart that wants you and wants me and wanted the Israelites to come to him. That is God's heart. God's wrath comes from when we sin. I bet God never wanted to bring his wrath down on people. He just wants us, and he wanted them to follow him. Excellent. We're going to read chapter 1 of Hosea. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, he said this to him, go and marry a woman of promiscuity. Promiscuity. What does that mean? He doesn't say a woman of adultery. That would suggest that the woman has had sex with someone who's not her husband. One other person. He uses the word promiscuity. In other versions, it says woman of whoredom. Okay? So that's a whole lot different than someone just going and sleeping with someone else. That's next level. That's everybody in the community, okay? And so he says, go and marry a woman of promiscuity and have children of promiscuity, for the land is committing blatant acts of promiscuity by abandoning the Lord. He lays it all out there. First point, Israel has rejected him. God does these interesting things with a lot of his prophets. He gets them to do odd things. Like in Jeremiah, he gets Jeremiah to lie on the ground for like 100 days beside this pile of rocks that's supposed to represent Jerusalem, and he's supposed to say the same things. He's supposed to eat this diet. Like he gets them to do odd and funny things. I think God would be a great teacher because I'll explain something to the students and the student will be like, I don't get it. I got to try another way. Okay, we'll try that way. I still don't get it. Okay, we got to try another way. And hopefully, by the time five ways go by, they got to figure it out. Or if I've explained it in a way, they can understand it. But God uses all these examples and says, in this one, Hosea, I want you to go marry a woman. Pretty life-changing for Hosea, okay? You're going to go marry this woman of promiscuity. Verse 3. So he went and married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim. And she conceived and bore him a son. Notice, she bore him a son. That'll come up later. Then the Lord said to him, name him Jezreel. Jezreel stands for God sows. For in a little while I will bring the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu and put the end to the kingdom of Israel, to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in Jezreel Valley. Justice is going to happen. Next verse. She conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to him, back up. He did not say, bore him a daughter. So now, This is where the promiscuity comes in. The daughter is not Hosea's. Name her Lo Ruhamah, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel. I will certainly take them away. Lo Ruhamah means no compassion. So he's naming these children. Oh, talk about a curse on a child's head, okay? I'm named for the destruction of Israel. Anyway, so there we have it. You will have no more compassion on the house of Israel. Justice is going to be done. Verse 7, but I will have compassion on the house of Judah, and I will deliver them by the Lord their God. See, already he's saying, I'm going to have justice, but I'm going to deliver them. God is not long to rescue. That's what he wants to do. I will not deliver them by bow, sword, or war, or by horses or cavalry. God's going to do it the way God's going to do it. And in fact, you look back at all the times that God rescued people in the Bible. He rescued Judah, this southern kingdom. I can't remember exactly where it is. But it says in the Old Testament, it says, the start of Ezra. It says, and God put in the mind of King Cyrus that he should build the temple in Jerusalem again. It was destroyed. God put it in the mind. He didn't need anybody else. He didn't need a conquering army. He just had to say, hey, guess what, Cyrus? I want you to build this thing and in Jerusalem, this temple, and send all the Jewish people there to do it. That's all he had to do. Verse 8, after Gomer had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and gave birth to a son, another one that is not Hosea's. Then the Lord said, name him Lo Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Lo Ami stands for not my people. Yet the number of Israelites will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or counted. And in the place where they were told, you are not my people, here's God rescuing us again. They will be called sons of the living God. And the Judeans, the southern kingdom, and the Israelites will be gathered together, and they will appoint for themselves a single ruler and go up from the land. For the day of Jezreel will be great. Call your brothers my people and your sisters compassion. Hosea chapter 1. Chapter 2 is another version of chapter 1. Chapter 3, short little one. Ooh, that's a good one. You need to read that one. It's awesome. Chapter 4, 5, 6. It's not all broken into chapters. It's not all in the same order, but you will see these themes constantly. Rejection, justice, and rescue, or mercy. This is the heart of God. The heart of God is that he longs for you to be with him. Hosea 6, let's turn the page to Hosea 6. I'm just going to fly over Hosea and touch down every once in a while and grab a few things. Hosea 6. I'll let you turn there. Verse 1 says, come, let's return to the Lord, for he has torn us, justice, and he will heal us, rescue. He has wounded us, justice, and he will bind up our wounds, rescue. He will revive us after 2 days, and on the third day, he will raise us up. Wait a minute. The old Jesus spidey sense should be going off right now, okay? A prophet is one who talks about the present and the future. And he's talking about Jesus dying on the cross right here. Verse 2, he will revive us after 2 days, and on the third day he will raise up so we can live in his presence. Let's strive to know the Lord. His appearance is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the rain, like the spring showers to water the land. Amen. Hosea 7:13-16. Woe to them, for they fled from me. Destruction to them, for they rebelled against me. Though I want to redeem them. I want you to get the idea here that the Israelites rejected him. Not just, I don't like you anymore. Hosea was ordered to marry Gomer, who was promiscuous. God knows our hearts. He knew the hearts of the Israelite people. And the hearts of the Israelite people was to reject him. But not just, I don't like you. It's, I don't need you. You mean nothing to me. I'm going to go somewhere else. And I'm going to worship something else. When God designed them to find their fulfillment in him. Though I want to redeem them, they speak lies against me. They do not cry to me from their hearts. Rather, they wail on their beds. They slash themselves for grain and new wine. This is a reference to the things that they did to worship the other gods. They thought that they had sex with the temple prostitutes, and if they sacrificed their own children, if they slashed their wrists, then it would go well with them. How crazy is that? They slash themselves for grain and new wine. They turn away from me. Verse 15, I trained and strengthened their arms, but they plot evil against me. They turn, but not to what is above. They are like a faulty bow. Their leaders will fall by the sword because of their insolent tongue. They will be ridiculed for this in the land of Egypt. God, and I said this before, is the creator of the universe. That means he decides how it works. He designed you and me to find our fulfillment in him. God said, this is what I consider good, and this is what I consider evil. God has the right to do that, just like I have the right in my class to say, this is what you need to do to get marks. If you do this, you won't get them, so do these things. God said, this is how I made it. He said, this is what I consider good. So if I tell you, do good, and you do good, it will go well with you. And if I tell you, don't do that thing, and you don't do that thing, it'll go well with you. He's telling the Israelites this all the time. There's a famous passage in Deuteronomy 30. I keep coming back to it. And God says, all of these things are going to happen. He says this through Moses. Moses says, you're going to turn away and it's going to be bad. But in the end, I want you to know that you're going to follow. God is going to rescue you. So choose now what you want to do. Choose life or choose death. That's Hosea. Those three things. He tells us how Israel rejected them. He tells us how justice is going to come on them, and how God is going to rescue them. So now we come to the part of the sermon where we say, so what now? So who cares? Great information, got a timeline, we've got the northern kingdom, they're doing all that stuff. How does it affect you and me? Last week, we had Dan, right? Was that his first name? Dan Stovey, right? And so Dan was up here, and he said, in Thailand, or I can't remember exactly who, see, I'm not a details person. He talked about stuff last week. But he said they always, when they study the Bible, they answer three questions. What does this tell me about Jesus? What does this tell me about my neighbor? And what command am I supposed to follow? I found it interesting that I also follow those same things. I say them a little bit different. I say, what does this tell me about God? Same. What does this tell me about me, humanity? And what now? What can I do now? So we learned about God and humanity here. What do we do with it now? Good question. That actually all depends on you. And this is the beauty of the way God created us. He also, part of God is the Holy Spirit. And when we become believers, God comes on us and in us so that we can individually know him. It's not that bad, is it? God, the Holy Spirit came in us so that we can know him and he can show us how to live individually. Like this week, the Holy Spirit was in Chad and he talked to Chad. And I know from visiting with my wife Mona, the Holy Spirit is in her because he talked to her. Because we read the same passage and I said, oh, look at this. And she said, oh, look at this. And our look at thises were different. They were what we needed to hear. So maybe you are here and you're new to this whole God, Bible, Jesus thing. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you just started your journey with God. I just became a believer. I want to know more about him. Maybe it's been a while and you show up every Sunday, but your Bible is dusty and God throughout the week, throughout the day, doesn't enter your mind at all. You just go on with your day, you take your kids to their things, you go help your parents, you mow the lawn again and again and again. I don't know if you're like me, but I have to mow it again and again and again this year. Or maybe you're skeptical. You don't know what God's doing. Maybe God has done something in your life or the people around you that you disagree with. How could you let that happen, God? How could that be possible? You don't know what you're doing. Or maybe you were a faithful follower. This morning you read your Bible. I'm not saying all faithful followers read their Bibles in their morning, but let's say you did, and God spoke to you, and the Holy Spirit gave you, showed you compassion, or showed you how you need to live your life a little bit different. I don't know where you are, but I do know that for all of us, Jesus calls us to be transformed, to be like him. How do we take it from way back then to now? I see so many similarities between God and the Israelites in the desert and Jesus in his time on earth. Moses brought the message from God, and God was teaching his people who he is and how they should act. And Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he told us who he was and how we should act. He showed us we are to be more like Jesus. This is what we do at Bridgeway. We're being transformed to be more like Jesus. Yeah. So, we could be in many situations, but I would encourage you to do one of these things. Talk to somebody. I want you to talk to somebody. If you need to ask them, who is this Jesus? Ask them, who is this Jesus? If you need help getting back into reading your Bible, talk to somebody. Hey, you want to read your Bible together? We should do this. I love when I hear stories about that. If you want to be a part of a group of people who talks about it on a regular basis, hey, Mona and I, come talk to us. We'll put you in a life group. We'll start a life group. We'll do something to help you get closer to Jesus. In Hosea 6, the verse that just jumps right out at me. Let's strive to know the Lord. Let's do that. If you are faithfully in God's word, I want to encourage you to keep going. Life is hard. And I'm not saying that if you know God, everything's going to be rosy. I think all of us know that. But if you know God, he is walking beside you through the hard things. You will find your fulfillment in him. When you read Hosea this week and you're going along, you'll notice a few things. He says, you're going to chase these other things, but I'm going to put thorns in your way so you don't go there. You're going to want to do all of this other stuff, but I'm going to redirect your path. Or, he says, I'm going to give you over to your sin. And when you know that it is bad enough, hopefully you come back to me. If you're the person who doesn't think God knows what he's doing, eventually what you need to do is get over yourself, because you are not God. God is God. God designed it this way. I want to tell you from my experience that when I put God first, when I look at, you know, one of the things I struggle with is letting go of how God is taking care of my kids. That's a hard one. I want to do everything for them. Like if you said, Chad, rob a bank so that you can help them, I might consider it, you know? I want to be there for my kids, for my girls. And this week, I realized I got to let go. And in those times, I go from fret and worry and I can't do anything to peace. And then the next day, I got to go through it again sometimes. And the next day, I got to go through it again. But that's okay, because I know that God is there. I wish he would do things different sometimes. But he is there. God's heart is that you would come to him. So I would encourage you today, just like he wanted the Israelites to come to him, he wants you to come to him. Let's strive to know the Lord. His appearance is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the rain, like the spring showers that water the land. Amen.